Welcome to the Black Women's World Podcast. Welcome to Black Women's World, where Black women vibe and thrive together. And if you ain't a Black woman, you'll get to know at least one. Because this Black Women's World, my Black Woman's World, is whatever I say it is, simply because I am. So welcome, Sisternistas and Sisternista lovers. We're here for you. Much love and peace. Well, hey, y'all. It's Tracy Mack. Listen, I was thinking back during the time when Jada, a.k.a. my warm cake, was in elementary school. We were going through a lot of things back then. We had just transitioned. Owen was retiring. We had just transitioned back from Okinawa. I was experiencing a lot of medical problems. I was working for the state of North Carolina full-time, going to school full-time to earn my degree in behavioral science, and that was online through Western International University. They've since closed, but maybe they just stayed open long enough for sister to earn her accredited degree. But anyway, and it was so much going on. I had rebranded my coaching practice, and I was seeing clients part-time, so it was a lot going on. It was a lot going on financially. But I always made it a point that no matter what my schedule looked like, I wanted to be able to take my warm cake to school or either pick her up and sometimes both. But I remember a particular time, Lord have mercy, where I would go pick her up and she had a letter, you know, the letter they sent home to let me know that her lunch account was running low. And I'm like, wait a minute. I just put money on the books. Don't it sound like they in prison? But I was like, I just put money on her books. And even with that, the whole way that school, Sir Ken Richardson talks about in his work and in his books, how schools were set up to be industrialized and much like prisons. But anyway, I was like, I just put money on her books. How in the world? So the first time I had to do it, I was like, maybe I miscalculated. So I just, you know, sent money again. And then it happened again. And I'm like, what in the world? I got to put money on these books again. So I was like, you know, I'm going to call this school. Somebody in that admin department, they ain't right. They messing with my baby. You know, that mother bear comes out. Not only they messing with her, they messing with my money. And I ain't got time for them to mess with my money right now. And so I called the school and I said, listen, I said, it's not right. And they said, ma'am, would you like an itemized? I said, send me the itemized. Send it. And they sent me the itemized thing. And I looked at it and it was her lunch. Then it was ice cream. Then it was 3 and 4 ice creams. Then it was 5 and 6 ice creams. I said, wait a minute. My child ain't eating no 3 and 4, 5 or 6 ice creams in one day. And who in the world is letting her have that many? And so I was pissed. So I marched down to the school like Miss Sophia. And I said, listen, my child ain't doing this. And I even asked her, because, you know, you need to ask your children, you know, before. I said, Jada, are you eating more than one ice cream a day? Because you're not supposed to really have one every day. She said, no, I'm only eating one. She told the truth. When I went down there, come to find out, I asked one of her teachers and she said, Jada's buying ice cream for her classmates. I said, what? What? This girl was buying ice cream for all her friends. Didn't matter who it was, white, black, Hispanic. It didn't matter. And I said, what, Jada? I got her home and I said, listen, you cannot buy ice cream for all of your friends. You can't do it. I said, you can get ice cream maybe 2 days a week, but you cannot buy ice cream for all of your friends anymore. Do you hear me? She said, yes, mommy. And so that rectified that situation. And so sometime later, I'm sitting in the carpool lane to pick her up. And she comes running out and there's two little Hispanic boys with her and a couple of her little girlfriends. Like I said, she always had a cosmopolitan group of friends, little white girl, couple little black girls. And they came running to the car with her. And the teachers were like, no, that's not your car. You know, you come out when your number come up, right? And so the teachers were like, that's not your car. And they were like, thank you. Thank you. And I'm like, what are they saying thank you for? I'm like, you're welcome. You're welcome. And so what are they saying thank you for? And her teacher said, thank you, Miss McNeil. Thank you so much. Jada told us what you were going to do. And I said, well, what am I doing? And so the one little boy said, "Thank you for my shoes." And I said, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Shoes." "Oh, okay." And so because the carpool line needed to keep moving, I said, "Okay." And got Jada in the car and said, "What are they talking about?" And she said, "Mommy, they like my light up shoes." You know, the shoes the kids used to wear to light up. She said, I said, "Okay." I said, "But what are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, I told the two boys, Mommy, it's two boys in my class. Their shoes are messed up and they really, really like my light up shoes. And I told them my mommy would buy them some light up shoes." Lo and behold, when I got to the meat of the story from the teacher, what had happened was she did get light up shoes for her birthday. And it was a lot of kids then were in poverty, and that's a whole nother story at this particular elementary school. And lo and behold, the grapevine went around the classroom when somebody said, "Jada, I like your shoes. I like your shoes. I like your shoes." A lot of the other kids had light up shoes. That's why she asked for them. But these two little boys, she said, came to them and said, "We like your shoes." And she said, "Mommy, they the only ones in the class that don't have light up shoes like me." And one of them said, "Can your mommy buy me light up shoes?" And I said, "Yeah, my mommy can buy you light up shoes too." And this one told this one, and this one told this, and then little jokers had the grapevine going around the classroom. Next thing I know it, and got to the teacher's aide. And that's who had come out. "Miss McNeil, thank you so much." They had and told the teachers that I was going to buy these two little boys light up shoes. I'm like, John Brown and Jade, I barely scraped together the money to get you the light up shoes. And these little kids had already said thank you. Y'all. Somebody said, "Well, you ain't have to do it. You ain't got to do nothing." But there was something in their faces. There was something in their voices. There was something in my child. And I thought about that thing. Now, mind you, I did teach her the lesson because she didn't understand what money was. Because I said, "Jada, Mommy don't have the money to buy those boys' shoes." She said, "Just use your card." That was the first time that Joker had said, "Just use your card." Because at that age, there was no correlation between money and swiping that card, or now tapping the card. And I'm like, "Just use your card." And I said, so at that moment, I took it upon myself that every time I started using more cash, because I wanted her to see when she was with me at the grocery store or at the bank or buying, you know, the rare times we went to the mall, because, you know, I ain't a mall person, but go to the little strip malls, and I wanted her to see cash. And so what I would do whenever I would use cash, the change that I would get, anything, singles, $1 bills and change, I would give it to her, and she would put it in this Ziploc bag. And so I said, "Okay, what we're going to do, Jada, when you go to the store, you're going to take this Ziploc bag." She had this big Ziploc bag. I wanted her to feel the weight of money, and I wanted her to understand what the exchange happens when Mommy goes to the store and buys something. And so she would go in the store, whether it be some gum or candy or a little trinket. They had the little silly bands that the kids were wearing, and she was collecting those. Where you got to go to the register, and I don't give a flying flip who's behind us. You're going to stand there and count that money out so you can see that Mommy ain't just swiping no card. So it taught her the reconciliation of money. But before then, she just telling people, "Mommy, you can swipe your card." And just something in me, I thought about it and I said, she has faith in me. She has faith in me. She don't know the finances is funny. The train is strange. Train change is strange. I can't even say it because it was so messed up. But I thought about it, and I did what I could to get those boys those shoes. And I took them to the front office because I didn't want all the attention or whatever, and I didn't want them other kids thinking I was just Mrs. Claus. So I took the shoes to the front office, and I told the teacher I was going to drop them off, and she made sure that not only did their parents, because I had to get the sizes, their shoe sizes from the teacher through their moms and whatever, and so I did that and got them those shoes. And it did my heart so good much later, because I used to volunteer in the classroom a lot, and it did my heart so good that field day I saw them little jokers about to kill themselves running in them shoes, but they kept turning around trying to look at the light. I was like, "Man, Alejandro, you better keep forward." But anyway, it was just that experience. And it taught me, number one, because when your children are little, you are God to them. And she had so much faith in me, she knew I could do it. And when I saw those little faces run to my car, and I saw those little boys out there running, playing, and having fun at field day in shoes that God help us get them, let me tell you, it taught me when you put a demand on gratitude, it causes manifestation. Them jokers thanked me in a way where it put me, their faith in me put a demand on gratitude, and then the shoes had to manifest. So many things we can learn from kids. But you know, somebody and also that put a relationship with me at the time, the principal at the school, and several of the teachers, because I always stayed involved every grade in the classroom. And I told you, I said, listen, we're not gonna do ice cream individually anymore, because then people gonna be picking people, some of your friends will think you don't like this one this day, and you're gonna have friend problems. So what we're gonna do once a month, mommy's gonna bring cupcakes, because that was much cheaper anyway. You could order cupcakes from the grocery store and get them to airbrush them, whatever season it was in or whatever, you know, month it was. And it just made the kids feel good and happy. But because you have to discipline your will to help too. But it helped me build a relationship with the school and the teachers, and I begin to hear some of the stories of how hard these kids had it, have it, and they're expected to learn. Kids that didn't come to school, young girls who were starting their menstrual cycles that didn't have sanitary napkins. So I started with my coworkers and helping the kids get coats and giving supplies for a compassion box with sanitary napkins, toilet paper, socks, shoes, white t-shirts of different sizes, because we can always make a way to give when we really want to. You know, whether it be the season of giving, we can extend it beyond clocks and calendars. And sometimes we learn from children just the faith that they have in us. Sometimes people use that when their children ask for something. I ain't getting you nothing. I ain't got no money. You know, I had that language at one time, but then I thought about when she puts a demand, and her little friends will come over the house and kept snacks going, and buying me and my neighbor would buy toys for the whole cul-de-sac just to see children play. And whether it be we scrape two pennies together to get some balls and chalk and whatever, the demand that they put on us because they had faith in us. That's the same kind of faith we have in God. Well, when we show up with gratitude, when I do my be gratitudes, I'm putting my faith in God to say, I know you can do it. Oh, I know you're going to do it, because my gratitude puts a demand on manifestation. Listen, I hope that this in some way helps you put a demand on your gratitude, and that way you can have manifestation. I don't care what it's for, as long as it's made out of love. I say all the time, you can't make a wrong decision out of real love. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this story. And if you get some light up shoes, don't turn your head backwards trying to look at them light up. You better stay forward. Anyway, I'm Tracy Mack. I'm grateful, and I love y'all for real. Much love and peace.
An Amazon best-selling author with an ARC Book Club Incorporated 5-star rating and your self-discovery companion, Tracy Mack is setting positive change ablaze with her three incredible books. Looking for an interactive resource that reveals how to strategically overcome obstacles that can hinder you from developing your purpose and consistently enjoy the limitless benefits of living your best life? Well, grab your copy of Tracy Mack's book, The Book of Purpose, The You Testament. Through true stories, real-world examples, and thought-provoking questions and principles, you can make your best dreams a reality and achieve big goals that sustain peace in your life. Your solution has arrived. If you are ready to live an amazing life of change with sustainable results and measurable success, get your copy of one or all three of these awesome books where fine books are sold today to start your journey.
You've been listening to Black Women's World Podcast, the BWWP, brought to you in part by Tracy Mack Solutions for Life Institute Coaching and Training Services. No doubt you have enjoyed being in our world, and it doesn't have to stop here. Head on over to blackwomensworld.com. This is my personal invitation to you to stay connected with me on social media and more. I'd love to see you there, and I'm so grateful you came to be with me here. Invite someone else to join you in our queendom next time, so so they can feel the vibe of our tribe of Sisternistas and Sisternista lovers too. Remember to be kind, be authentic, be generous, be excellent, be grateful, and while you're at it, go ahead and be extraordinary, because that's just what Sisternistas do, on purpose, through mission, with passion and compassion. It's a Black woman's world, baby, and you, my Sisternista, are proof. I'm your self-discovery companion, your professional peacemaker, and your host, Tracy Mack. Wherever you are in the world, may you love and be loved by somebody. Peace.